about the rest of the year? Like, there's just nothing coming out.
Are you out of your mind?
Yeah. Well, maybe they'll announce something at E3.
Yeah, well, why would you think that? They've never announced anything at E3. I mean, granted, I think that E3 is going to be the place where everybody kicks their dates. Like, the thing where we got the Modern Warfare 2 date at GDC, that's uncommon. Dates are in the realm of publishers.
Well, at GDC, they gave out the date and they did the first trailer. At E3, we'll probably see gameplay.
Yeah, but E3 is where everyone else will do what Activision did at GDC.
And get dates.
That's what E3 is about. E3 is about, you know, it's
about
that
when they
thing.
Give their big speeches, they're like, you know, oh, and we're really hopeful for this new title coming out, blah, 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 Uncharted 2, and you can expect to pick that up on blah, blah, blah. It'll be in stores. Like Reggie, you know?
Because, there's a lot of dates we got to look forward to.
Although the best thing about Microsoft is when they do theirs, and I guess Sony did it at E3 last year, but when they do theirs, it's always like, and you can download this right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fine.
And it's like, run to your console and you can get it.
Because, let's see, we got Uncharted 2, Mass Effect 2, Bioshock 2.
Yeah.
I don't know if we should expect an Assassin's Creed 2 date yet.
I see, this is the thing, and this is it's like really, really, really creepy. I remember in the past being convinced that, like, if I felt like all of the metric and all of the mechanical movement of the games industry is very predictable. Mm-hmm. You know, if somebody said, you know, a game's coming out in this quarter, and you would, like, look at all the release dates, and everybody was publishing release dates as, like, the last day of that quarter.
Yeah.
And you knew it was coming out the next quarter, probably 6 weeks after that date. Mm-hmm. And it would usually work out pretty well. You also knew that if it was a big title, and I'm going to do what I do all too often, and I'm going to wind up sort of swinging back against my own jihad at some point.
Uh-huh.
The one thing you could be certain of with a ridiculously packed holiday schedule was that you could kind of see, like, if a game is, like, in development up to a certain point, if it's getting a certain amount of press, you would get E3 in May, and you would know whether that game's coming out of the holiday season. This is a holiday season game.
Mm-hmm.
Does it look close enough to the end of its development? Yes, all right, we're going to have it this holiday season. You could kind of predict that. Now that everybody's sort of infatuated with this idea that we've wanted them to develop an infatuation with, this whole...
Release it whenever
thing. I can't fucking tell when anything's coming out. I can't apply my intuition or my, you know, the whole mechanism we used before to be like, if it has reached, you know, Y amount of, you know, development potential, I guess, whatever, like... by E3, then motherfuckers out by the holidays. You can't do that now. You look at things like Assassin's Creed 2 and Mass Effect 2, and you're like, I can't tell if that's coming out this year or not, because, like, maybe they don't even give a shit for pushing for no later than November 21st.
That's a fine trade-off to make.
It's good. It's just like, well, how do I... now I just have to wait till I actually get a release date, you know? Whereas before, you could at least trust that they all felt like they were being pushed up against the holiday wall.
Right, right.
So you could kind of figure on all the stuff coming out. Now it's like, not as much. I don't want to say clearly not at all. Modern Warfare is obviously very happy to follow in that line. And it's still great, you know? Those guys, they can do that. Like, it's everybody around them that has to worry. They don't have to worry. They can come out... Well, I can't think of a more intense time to come out. But if there was one, like holiday season at the center of a black hole, like, yeah, they could come out wherever the fuck they wanted to come out, and, like, they would sell stuff, and it's the other guys who would have to stress out. So, I don't know. I worry about these, like, can I expect it this year? You know, can I expect it, like, on this side of this holiday season, or, you know, maybe February of next year? Maybe they'll do that? I don't know. So there's all this big thing sort of hovering around out there in the nebulous end-of-year thing that are just very unpredictable. It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun. Like I was saying earlier, you know, shortage of anything coming out.
I'm hoping for at least one big title in January.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
Oh, man. I'm telling you, it's going to be the fad of the next 5 years. is trying to put as much room between you and everyone else's giant.
Like, that'd be awesome.
If, like, all the 800-pound gorillas in the industry are going to try to sort of dominate as much space on each
January's
side.
Great. I got a bunch of gift cards to spend.
Yeah.
Hey, welcome to a long-delayed episode of In-Game Chat.
It's In-Game Chat again.
Yeah, it is.
We had to take, like, a whole week off. And it's totally Scott's fault entirely.
It is. It's totally my fault. I'll straight up take that.
It's not Scott's fault.
Well,
it's your boss's fault.
Yeah, it's where I work.
It's his boss's fault. It's the nature of the business. It's whatever. It's all big, crazy, screwed up stuff. We've explained before that we operate, like, at the pleasure of our host radio station.
Yeah, and it's actually this place that was kind of off limits. So.
And so when they need to occupy the other whatevers, then we get sort of pushed to the side. We got pushed to the side for a whole week.
Yeah, it was...
They had the audacity to set up a new radio station.
Yeah, they did.
And yeah, a lot of its operations, like, happened to be in this room. So...
How dare they try to expand their business model and move into new markets.
Expand the business model, but don't increase your staff.
Hey, man. I'm all too familiar with that.
Exactly. I think we all are.
Everybody is. Anyway, but welcome to In-Game Chat for April the 7th, 2009. We're the official podcast of ColonyGamers.com. Check us out at ColonyGamers.com or InGameChat.net. We got forums over there, you know, and you guys have been using them. Thank you. And we got email, everyone at InGameChat.net. Email that, I don't know if we'll get to them on this episode, but there are emails I want to get to. So
If not tonight, then on Thursday, definitely. Speaking we're a little bit behind. We don't know what the hell we're going to talk about because...
Well, I know one thing to talk about. There's something you got over there.
We might as well jump into that.
Yeah. Because it's going to take me a while to do the unboxing, and we can certainly talk other kinds of news and experiences on top of my unboxing.
I've already unboxed mine, so...
Yeah, well...
I can tell you my first impressions, and then you can...
Yeah, I got my DSi in my hands.
Yeah, I picked mine up.
I think this is funny because after the last episode, there were several comments in the COG forums about stop talking about the DSi. You're making me want one, and I don't want to want one. Like a few of those.
Turns out that you actually do. and here's the thing. I had already gotten my hands on one a couple of times. I didn't bother going to the store where I buy my stuff on Sunday when it came out.
I did.
I wanted to wait until today when I would be back in town. Which was two days after the launch, I'm totally going to say this because it's actually true. While the rest of the world was getting theirs, if there had turned out to be some like critical error or like that, you know, there was some sort of fundamental problem with how the thing worked, and it was just basically if it bombed, like if it hit the market and bombed, and people had a lot of bad things to say about it, I probably would have sat on my hands, for a while. But they didn't. And a lot's been said about it. Like I said, I mean, I'm fully aware of all of that. And I kind of believe in... I think I believe in the same sort of success story for the DSi that other people do. Other people who aren't kids.
Yeah.
Like, and there's... It's such a strange little system because there's stuff in it that's like... Man, fuck the cameras. Like... I'm not kidding. They're horrible cameras. Like, they're fun, but they're never more than just, like, an amusement for an adult. Maybe, like, some little niche thing.
It's like a 0.3 megapixel.
Yeah.
It's a very bad camera.
It's like, maybe as good as, like, first-generation cell phone cameras.
All right, you know? Sure.
And the portrait camera's fine. You can take a picture, whatever you want to take a picture of, and have that be, like, your background. You know, when you launch the DSi, I mean, that's fine.
I didn't even go that far to figure out that.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, like, it's there, you know?
That's cool.
That's perfectly fine. The little stuff you can do to, like, you know, make face fat or, like, put, like, a big nose and glasses on, like, a picture or something. Right. Like, whatever.
So far we got, like, a feature that doesn't get in the way, but isn't particularly interesting.
Very useful.
Yeah. So,
you got the fun
the
parts
audio,
of Photoshop.
Yeah. The audio stuff is like it's nothing that we didn't know. It's no less useful than we thought it would be. It's all AAC files, which is like a stupid. You know, that's the only kind of like music files it'll play. Blech. Which is it's blah. I mean, I already use iTunes because I'm like half a Mac guy anyway. So it's like whatever. But I would never use it for some way. I got this thing. I don't want to be my MP3 player. This is my DS. Mm-hmm. You know, and so there's that. And like the playing with the audio stuff I think is actually quite fun. Mostly because I remember years back. You know, because it's got like its real-time like pitch modulator and stuff in it. You can do like completely real time.
I got a demo when I bought mine Sunday. Somebody had already opened up theirs, one of the people at the store, and the manager there was showing me how that worked. It's like, speaking in the mic, man, did whatever. And he could fast-forward it, he could rewind it, he could pitch it up, pitch it down while it was playing. Yeah. Just, you know.
Which is like, it's a thing on a toy. And I'm like, man. Like
working with audio every day, I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that's exceptionally cool. I mean, A, you work with audio every day, yeah. And that is what it is. I also remember years back, like, the very first times we ever tried doing something like what we're doing now, like, how...
Absolutely brutal it was to manipulate the audio.
To do anything with audio. And so to like do interesting stuff like that with your little toy is, again, fun. But you're not going to use it in any particularly cool application or anything. It's just another toy. But here's what it is. The DSi has pretty robust Wi-Fi. It's got a real, honest-to-goodness online store. Like,
yeah,
DS games in and of themselves are pretty cool. I think a lot of them are crap, but there's some great stuff out there. So I think regardless of which one you have, Fat Light or I, it's worth having to play the games. Great thing. I love having it, you know, in the pocket. Just whip out and do whatever, whenever. But man, if they bring any amount of their existing library to the DSi store, like that's it. The thing is not only worth every penny, but it's like, it becomes a must-have. It becomes something that you almost can't avoid having. And it's been mentioned in blog after blog after blog. This thing is about the future of buying small little online games for your DS. That's what it's about. That is what this system is about. And just think for a second if Nintendo brought even a portion of the Virtual Console to bear on the DSi store.
Sure.
Like, I think if they brought any portion of the iPhone App Store to the DS Store.
Yeah.
A lot of those same applications that you're using on your iPhone, again, touchscreen, everything else.
Yeah.
Put them on a DS.
There's no reason you can't now, really. Basically, is what
they're
saying.
Does it have accelerometers?
No, it does not have accelerometers. That's a good point. But I was going specifically off my apps, and I don't use a lot that have accelerometer in it.
Okay.
But, you know, things like, let me pull out my iPhone and see what kind of apps would be found on there.
Pulling out my quick start guide.
I got Scrabble.
All right, dig this shit, man.
You know, Trism.
You can't do Trism.
Well, you could in one way.
In one plane.
That kind of defeats the purpose of
it does
Trism,
it does, but for the most part when I do play Trism I am only playing in the one plane. I don't ever
well
it's very rare that I switch.
Ignore the accelerometer and there's still a lot of stuff to be done with the iPhone in terms of game apps and fun little apps and stuff. It's basically that sort of creativity, that kind of focus that, mm-hmm. that you would expect people to use when developing stuff for the DSi.
Right.
Regardless, it's the quality of Nintendo's handhelds married to the promise of an online store.
Sure, yeah.
Which is unlimited in terms of its creativity, even though it may be limited in terms of its development tools, you know? Right? Dude, I have purchased retail PCs.
Okay? Yeah, it was so thick.
Full retail computer parts. Complex machinery, you know? With the documentation was like half the size of this.
Yeah, sure. It's got
this
a lot.
Is the most preposterous.
You get three quick start guides.
Yeah.
English, French, Spanish.
Look at this freaking operations manual.
The operations manual, while it's all bundled together.
It's multi-language, but still.
Completely
it's
multi-language.
Still much, much grander in both weight and scope than any, just about anything I've purchased for PC stuff. It's very interesting. The system itself is kind of meek by comparison.
You got the black one.
I did get the black one. I've seen the blue one, man. I'm sorry, but it's for girls.
It's for Easter.
Right.
It's the color.
Yeah, totally new charger again.
Yeah, but
you can't use your old charger.
You can't use the old one? No.
No, it's got a different
obviously, I didn't compare because I traded in my old one.
I did, too. You know what? I really felt kind of bad about it because you and I both had, like... Well, I had a day one light.
I had a
you had a day, you had a day minus 8 or 9.
That's right.
Yeah, I got,
you got
yeah.
yours at
Target
threw theirs
in the, Target threw theirs in the thing before it went live. So.
And I didn't want one until you got yours, and I saw it. Like, you brought it to dinner one night, and I was like, you motherfucker! I don't have $130. That's a lie. I totally did. I was pissed that I couldn't predict my own, like, my own greed.
Ah, here's the machine itself.
Yep. Again, it's black.
Matte finish to it instead of the glossy. Of
yeah,
the,
which is...
they traded one
it's
for
a trade. They traded one problem for another.
Yeah.
It is heavily resistant to fingerprints and, like, that level of marring.
Mm-hmm.
It is very prone to scratches.
Yeah.
I don't really care. I don't mind a weather-beaten exterior
sure.
to my system. Now, just for comparison's sake, Jeremy, who still has a fat... And a light brought his, so we could just like lay them all side by side.
Three
and have
generations of handheld.
Well, three, technically three iterations with yeah. one
a,
generation.
Of a generation, yeah. Three.
Yeah, go ahead and open up the light.
All right.
So let's do a little compare. See, the screens are like.
Let's get over there.
Screen size comparison is significant.
Wow. That is a
yeah,
significant.
That is a much bigger screen. Not yet. Oh,
your volume's on the
that's end. A yeah, that's yeah. a new sound.
It's very weesh.
Yeah. I hope we picked that up.
All right, I have to configure my console.
All right, configure my console.
Configuring all my stuff. Yeah, but I mean, it's like it's you know,
it's playing kind of soothing music.
Yeah,
there
it's very
that.
Soothing. You know, sort of takes the edge off that $180 you just spent.
Now I'm going to fire mine up and we compare, like, brightness and shit here. Ah.
Yep, don't hear that anymore.
Yeah, as I understand it, brightness is adjustable within the game, too, now.
Oh, hey, that's really nice. To the,
today is the 7th. Excellent.
So while these guys are working on their consoles,
what you been doing, Scott?
This week.
Yeah,
I didn't play a lot. Actually, in fact, the wrestling game I talked about at the end of last time we did this show,
Legends of WrestleMania.
I never even opened it out of the GameFly package. I brought it to work today, took off the thing, folded the flap, and put it back in the box.
Yeah.
I was missing out on a lot. I still want Riddick. I want Ninja Blade now that I watched some video of it. I want to play that. What else do I have? Well, they just sent me Godfather 2 today. So I'll play that, but the only game I did get a chance to play was Mad World.
Oh, what'd you think?
Really, really, really like it.
Good.
One of the few Wii games that I actually really enjoyed. I'm still not good with controls. I still suck at that. I'm really bad with those Wii controls. The nunchuck thing where you...
Right.
Like, if I'm just doing one thing, like if you're playing those mini games on, like, Super Monkey Ball or whatever, mm-hmm. I'm just, like, throwing a dart or whatever, that's
sure.
fine. But when I actually have to move my character around and then do other things... yeah, like I lack the coordination. But then again, I haven't played much with it.
Well, so. I think of the Wii games I've played, the third-party titles tend to want to require you to do more for bigger things to happen than some of the first-party titles, like Mario Galaxy and Twilight Princess.
Mm-hmm.
You just kind of give it a little shake for, like, an action.
Yeah, yeah,
you
that's
know?
True.
And it's, like, you kind of shake it to, you know, whack the sword. But it's never anything very precise.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have to perform this specific motion to make this thing happen, which tends to be the case in a lot of third-party titles.
Yeah, well, Mad World I really enjoyed. It's one of the first Wii games that I've played where it's, like, where... the thrill of it hasn't worn off in a very quick time.
Yeah.
Like, when I was playing Elebits...
Mm-hmm.
I got really tired. Like, Elebits let you, like, essentially it turns your thing into, like, this gun that could pick up things.
Right.
But, like, the trailers and the boxes, he was, like, picking up little things, but then he was also outside picking up houses with it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I want to get to there. You got to work to get to there.
Yeah.
They don't just give it to you. And so getting to that point, I was like, oh, that's tedious. I don't like this.
Yeah.
I put it to the side. Galaxy... the only problem with Galaxy was that I just had a multitude of other titles to play.
Okay.
And so I just sat it down, and I just never got back into it. So it doesn't have a problem. Zelda, I had a problem with it. I can't remember what it is at the time, at the moment, but I remember having a problem with it. And if we go back to old episodes, I could remember from that. But I can go back to Boom Blocks and The Blob.
Mm-hmm.
Fun for the first level, but I couldn't imagine myself continuing to do that over and over and over again. I don't know. There's only so many colors you can give me in The Blob. And for Boom Blocks, I was throwing a ball. I mean, that's it. This is like dismemberment and so many different ways to kill a guy. And just the commentary's great. The bosses are huge. Oddly enough, that black and white scheme does not annoy me.
Yeah.
You know, looking at screenshots and looking at trailers, I thought, man, looking at that for a while, that's going to be rough. No, not at all.
It works for it.
Yeah, it totally
doesn't get in the way.
So this is one of the few Wii games that I've rented that I'm not actually playing a little bit of.
Well, I played a little bit of Wii this weekend, too.
What'd you play?
Nope. I went up to the in-laws, and they had gotten Wii Fit. As Scott nearly chokes on his water.
That's
funny.
Do that. Wii Fit, huh?
Yeah. And now Becky wants one. But
good luck. I think those are still hard to find.
It was... like playing the little mini games on it was, like I said, fun for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
I always thought of it as a glorified power pad.
Yeah, I guess it kind of is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's certainly more responsive. You know, more potentially useful. Like, I'd love to have maybe a downhill snowboarding or skateboarding game to use with it.
You bring that up. The potential.
Like Top Skater, you know?
Top Skater would be great. I know you can use, like, the Shaun White snowboarding.
Oh, can you?
Yeah. Hmm. I don't know, you know, like...
That might be something to Gamefly if we end up with one of those abortions.
Yeah, there you go.
But, and there actually is, like, a downhill snowboarding game on Wii Fit.
Oh, that comes with it?
Okay. Yeah, but it's just, you know... You go through the little flags, and then that's it. And then, like, forever after, it's the same thing over and over, and you try to do better. Well, you know.
Are you, keeping track of your weight?
No. It was just for the weekend. I played it one time, and played as many mini-games as they could pack in. Although what was kind of funny was there's this one bit where you lean to hit the soccer balls with your head dodge other things. And, like, apparently, like, all my in-laws, like my nephew's brother-in-law, sister-in-law, had been playing the shit out of this thing, and they're like, "It's the hardest thing in the world! Like, it's so hard." And then I'm doing it, and like I didn't know what the point of it was. I thought I was supposed to dodge everything, so I'm dodging, and they're kind of laughing. After a second, they're like, "You know, you're supposed to hit the soccer balls with your head." Right? I was like, "Oh, I am. Okay." So I like start hitting them, and like even like not knowing what I was supposed to do for like the first little bit there. I scored a 70, and the highest they'd ever made was 35. So I did it again and made over 100.
Oh, my God, he's amazing.
They were pissed. Although there's a downhill ski jump, and like they were like, "I don't know what you're doing wrong. You're doing it perfect." And I could not score better than any of them. No idea what the problem was there. But so, yeah, that was my experience with Wii Fit.
Yeah, it's I don't know. It's one of those things, and but now you want one, huh?
No, well, Becky wants one. Yeah, I was trying to encourage her sister to get Animal Crossing and Wii Speak.
Yeah.
So that you know, then they'd be busy playing that, and Becky wouldn't be thinking about getting Wii Fit. But you know.
Yeah. How are we coming on the DS over there?
I've got everything set up. I'm
the DSi. Forget to add that a lot.
Yeah, right.
Talk about it.
I'm futzing around with the internet right now.
Oh, good luck.
Oh, well,
I was fine at my house with it, but
yeah,
you've got to enter in a ungodly code when you do it here at the station.
This is the sound of testing the internet connection.
Same sound I think it makes on the Wii.
It's similar. I don't know if it's the exact. I can't remember. Sweet. It's been a while since I did that.
Yeah.
While I was there, I brought my access point with me because I started not having internet on my laptop when I went up there. And since they had a Wii, I was like, "Oh well, I'll take it online and like buy World of Goo for them." And they loved World of Goo. We played four-player World of Goo for a while, and it was a good time.
See, one of the games I hope that they bring to the DS.
Oh
shop.
Yeah, it would be great for it.
Man, that's just a no-brainer.
Uh huh.
crossover, isn't it?
And Katie used the 5 leftover points to get Adventure Island. And now they're enamored with the idea of buying things on the Wii Online shop.
Yeah, well, so. You were talking about the potential of that Wii Fit, and that's exactly what I look at when I see the DSi, is that there mm-hmm. is a ton of potential there.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure Nintendo is about to open up at some point, but... You know, you put your virtual console titles on the DSi shop, or DS shop, what the fuck ever it's called. I'm going to buy some of those. Don't buy them on the Wii. I don't. I don't buy any of the VC stuff on the Wii. But if I had them on the DS...
I think I've bought a few. World of Goo, Mega Man 9, and others I wish
yeah,
I had.
World of Goo, yeah. I don't know if World of Goo is a virtual console, as that's more maybe...
Oh, you mean, yeah, the virtual console specifically, the retro stuff?
Yeah,
no, I hadn't bought any of that.
I haven't done that either, but if I could buy them on the DS, there's a few titles that I probably would
think so?
Actually break down and purchase. Because I could take it anywhere with me and play it, and I'm just, you know, sure there are ways that can be done, mm-hmm. but I'm not, you know, well-educated enough to know them.
But yeah, I would probably actually pick up Sin and Punishment if that were to get put on there.
I would pick up, and it's already on there, but... now I've forgotten what the damn thing's called. God damn it. It's a Hudson title. Mighty Bomb Jack.
Oh, man.
Mighty
game,
Bomb Jack, I would come in there.
That game did stuff to me when I was a kid. I played it, like...
What'd it do?
My heart started racing, like, every time I played it.
Really?
Yeah, like hard. It was pounding hard. And I was like, this is fucked up. I can't play this game anymore. This is going to kill me.
Yeah.
Loved it, but yeah.
I think I remember you telling me this before.
Is it updating now?
Yeah, it's updating. I'm totally on the internet, and it's like...
Did it download the update? Oh, no, you haven't downloaded anything yet. That's right.
I just said it's updating.
No, you're updating...
Shut up, man.
Yeah, I know.
What else did you play?
That's it. That's all. I didn't play hardly anything.
Yeah, I got a... it's totally hard to remember what I've been doing ever since, you know, whenever. I played a little bit of a... Which one?
It seems to have a wider viewing angle than even the DS Lite.
It's actually funny. You should come over here to where I am.
Yeah.
And, like, look at the same angle across all three of them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Look at how much...
It's definitely got a wider viewing angle.
Extremely high quality LCD.
I mean, the lights was really good compared to the fat when it came out, but that's...
I don't even think your brightness...
Excellent.
Brightness by default set
is
on 4.
4. Yeah, not 5.
Not 5.
Yeah. That's great.
No, I played I got a hold of some... it was totally wasted effort on my part because I realized what a moron I am. I picked up, you know, the Dark Athena, the Riddick.
Mm.
Which was really great. I played a little bit of Dark Athena just to take a look at it, and I'm like, this is fantastic. I never finished Butcher Bay. I guess I shouldn't be playing this. So, but I did play the updated Butcher Bay stuff.
Yeah, but it comes with Butcher Bay on
this. Really
so.
Great, man. What a, like, if you never played Butcher Bay, I mean, it's worth having anyway.
Yeah,
but,
which
like,
is what
I'm
going
to
do.
Like, two of them on there? Holy shit, man. Like, that's a great deal. Yeah, slightly, what is like,
slightly wider.
Eighth, like, quarter of an inch, something like that.
Yeah.
But significantly thinner.
Yeah.
Did you pick it up and hold it?
Yeah.
See what it feels like in comparison. Like, it's a... It's dense, you know? It's a little lighter, but it's a little more... Largely because they got rid of a giant empty void
right,
in the middle of
right.
the body.
Yeah.
It just feels like a really substantial piece of electronics.
Check that out?
Sure.
Yeah, so I played a little bit of that, but then just had to shelve it really quick because I was like, I gotta finish Butcher Bay. It's kind of a crime in general that I didn't do it in the first place.
Yeah.
Other than that, my birthday's coming up, so I use that as an excuse to buy myself a new computer monitor.
Very stable. What'd you get?
I actually, I usually buy those things off the shelf. I mean, I'm kind of like a miser when it comes to that stuff anyway, but I like being able to see the monitor physically and, you know, go directly back to a dude and yell at them if it's broken or stuck pixels or anything like that. So I found that like a really good 22-inch HP for like, you know, $2. So
cool.
Really, really nice. Picked that up and I like it a lot. So I've got myself like a really nice and comfortable mission control set up in my room because now I have like the two monitors for my PC.
Yeah, yeah.
And then like a my chintzy little television for, you know, news or whatever, and then my laptop next to that. Makes me feel very comfortable and plugged in and aware of what's happening. And also, I was really specifically, I wanted I wanted a 16 by 9 ratio monitor, just because I wanted, like, real, you know, like, whatever, like, console-ified 1080.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to move my PS3 out of my game room and into my computer room. Since I, like, Dana never plays that, I couldn't move the 360, but Dana never plays that system. So I was like, I'm going to move it in and, like, HDMI it right into my monitor.
Yep.
So I actually, you know, got to play on my PS3 for a while.
What'd you play?
Resistance and Valkyria. A little bit of Valkyria. I didn't get very far.
Yeah, that was cheap. That was actually, like, it dropped in price.
Yeah.
It dropped down to $30, I think, which is, like, half. It dropped, you know, half price for a while. But,
yeah, so I played that. And then, like, anytime I, you know, I don't know, if you play computer stuff often enough, if you're a computer guy, you sort of realize that anytime you upgrade one significant component of your system, anything that has to do with either the direct performance or the visual experience or the, you know, audible experience, you have to go back and play everything. Everything that you currently play or have played within, like, the last 6 months, you have to go play that. So now that I could move out of the dreaded, you know, troglodytic 1440 by 900 resolution and up to, you know, 1920 by 1080,
uh-huh.
like, I had everything in the world, like, that I could think of, I would load up and play. So I played everything, you know. I commanded spaceships and flew airplanes and shot some guys and completed quests and shot some more guys. It was all fantastic. That was great. Yeah. So I've been, like, that's all we did. Upgraded my monitor and spent an entire, like, 3-day weekend looking at shit that I've already played before, but how much prettier it is when there are so many more pixels to make up the screen. Actually, I played played a few rounds of Dodds with Nabokov. I ran into him on Steam, and he jumped in, and we, like, killed some guys together. It's really funny, too, because I never actually had a chance to play anything with him before. He's very, pretty competent sniper. Like, he was sniping some guys. We were on, I think, Avalanche. And it's funny, because he's evidently, like, a really prolific shit-talker. But, like, I didn't pay attention, because, like, I just zone out of the text chat and just, like, dig the voice chat, because, like, the codec for the voice chat and stuff through those games online, I was like, it's impeccable, it's brilliant. So I can actually use it and not feel too shitty. And I was, like, doing what I do, which is, you know, running up a KD ratio only a mother could love. Like, bare, like, you know, like, I'm one of those, like, 1.1, 1.2 to 1 kind of guys.
Uh-huh.
But, like, you know, like, I'm really, really aggressive if I'm playing. I mean, if it's an objective-based game.
Sure.
That's just how I play. Like, I want objectives. I don't like sitting in a corner sniping. There's objectives, goddammit.
Right.
That flag's not going to turn itself green on its own. I have to go sit on it.
Push.
Go. I am that guy.
Yeah.
Like, and it'll, like, help. I'll die. I'll fucking die.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, then I'll get it.
That's
and I'll
how
piss
I get
people
achievements
off.
Is when I play with him.
Yeah, that's what
you
I get.
You saved your partner 50 times. Yeah, we're only in the first level.
Yeah. Like, we were playing World of Warcraft. I kill, like, 10 guys to every one, but you save me, like, 20 times to every one time I save you. Like, it's really, that's just how I play. So I'm, like, really aggressive that way. And he got in there and started, like, bitching the other team out, because bitching my team out, rather, because, I mean, we were ahead.
Uh-huh.
And I was, like, at the top of our team. I mean, you know, I'm not too bad at it. Too bad first-person shooters. I'm not great, but, you know, I'm an objective guy. Like,
right.
If we were ranked by KD, like, you know, I'm somewhere, a little more down the middle, but, you know, I get objectives and I end up murder guys. I never fall below, you know, like, 1-to-1 generally. And, but, like, you know, he was like, why the fuck is a goddamned WoW addict, like, leading this fucking team for me? You should be ashamed of yourselves. And that was really fun. I didn't point out I do a lot of first-person shooter playing, but that was really fun. So I played a lot of that. Amazing how the fucking time can slip away when you're shooting guys.
Yeah.
You know, one more round. Just one more round.
Mm-hmm.
Dinner's ready. Okay, just let me finish this. I just got to do this one more round. So I did a lot of one more rounding over the last week. Rounded up into, you know.
Turn your system back on.
Yeah, I got some assistance. Yeah, I know. Shut the fuck up.
Well, we want impressions.
I
want
to redeem my 1,000 points on the DSi store.
Yeah, I got those.
What did you get? Did you download anything?
Fuck no. I downloaded the free web browser.
You're a terrible person.
Okay, what are you going to download with?
Oh, there's a picture of you guys, by the way. See, there you go. That's quality of the camera. It's not too great, but, you know, it's... That's what it is, you know?
Yeah.
That's my wallpaper, you and RJ.
It's the same Wii music when you go to the shop.
I don't know that. Do I have a Wii? No.
I was talking to Jeremy.
All right, you better be talking to Jeremy. I don't know. I didn't know connecting to the internet through a Nintendo device was so groovy.
Hey, I got sick of listening to that music this weekend, oh man. Oh my god. She must have been shopping. Like, she looked through everything in the virtual console and WiiWare. It took like 2 hours, and all the time that music's going, like, god damn it, I wish they'd add some new music to this. It's just so peppy and upbeat. It wears you out.
Right. That's awesome. Uh oh. I have to input.
I have to
input text. That's all. I don't know where we left off somewhere. I know something we didn't get to talk about. Mm. RJ made a strong effort and finished a particular game.
Oh yeah, y'all gave me the assignment to play Dead Space after battle.
Play Dead Space, and you
Resident
got
Evil
Dead
5
Space.
So much. Yeah, got right. through that.
Mm-hmm. Which you I played on the PS3, correct?
PS3. I played it on the PS3.
What did you play on the?
I played it through on both.
Oh wow. Okay.
Any noticeable differences between them? Yeah, really?
Just the free suits they were giving you.
Oh, yeah.
That's about it.
One black suit and the other one a white suit with green highlights or something.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. The
colors
the,
of the console.
Yeah, they were the colors of the console. And the PlayStation suit was much better.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot nicer. No, I take that back. Actually, no, I did not finish on the PS3. Because I game-flied for both.
Yeah,
and I was
right.
like, I can't really do this. I gotta send one back. So, no, that's right. I'm wrong. I didn't finish on the PS3, but I did get... I'm pretty damn far in it.
I was wondering, were the motion controls in the PS3?
I never used the motion controls.
Yeah, I almost never used the motion
controls. It was way back during the first year of the PS3.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, you can do this. And the motion controls let you do this.
Mm-hmm.
Then that just fell, you know?
Just fell through.
Mm-hmm. That just totally, nobody was using it. Every now and again, maybe a game pops up, but... Mm-hmm. Hardly at all.
Usually I see the option. You can use six axes or...
Option. Yeah. They give you the option now.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same way in Burnout Paradise. They give you that option only for, like, one thing, you know, mm-hmm. For the Showtime mode, which is, the whatever took place in Crash mode.
Mm-hmm.
You can use the six-axis or the directional thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's what it's become now.
Yeah.
Rather than being right there, you have to, it's like... Do you want to use it?
Yeah.
Not really.
No, yes. Whatever. You pick.
Yeah.
We're not going to force you because, you know, we really...
Because they finally recognized it as the gimmick it kind of is.
Yeah, it really was.
So.
So, anyway, tell us.
Well, comparing the two, you know, it's just Resident Evil 5...
And this is coming right off Resident Evil 5, too, because you, like...
Yeah, I was playing Resident Evil 5, and I've just played that, and I went through Dead Space.
I didn't watch you, but I signed on this weekend on the PS3 and saw you had, you know, added me. Thank you, I added you back.
Mm-hmm.
And you were playing Resident Evil 5 every time I saw you on.
Mm-hmm. I was working on trying to complete some stuff, but really, comparing the two, simply, Resident Evil 5, to me, is survival action, and Dead Space... really a survival horror.
Oh, totally.
It reminded me of what survival horror is supposed to be.
Well, they were traded places. I think Dead Space was always intended to be survival horror.
Yeah, it's got all the elements there. I mean, it's dark, foreboding scenery, background. I mean, real uncertainty of what's going to happen.
Great sound with the noises
eerie.
Coming from in the walls.
Yeah.
And
you don't know what's going on or what anything's coming from.
Goddamn vent.
Yeah. Now, there have been some complaints about it's been doing it so much, like you get oversaturated with that, so many thrill moments.
I gotta tell you, I kind of felt the same way.
Mm-hmm.
You learn pretty quickly what when the game's gonna, like, you know, go all ooga booga on you. You know that it's gonna do that, mm-hmm. or you know that you've the area you're in, like you've very specifically cleared out this particular area. You just kind of get. To a point you understand the game mechanics.
Yeah, you get to see what's coming. You know what's coming now.
Well, nonetheless, they will still sort of they'll layer on that whole things climbing through the superstructure of the ship thing, mm-hmm. like it just like it's going to bust through a vent any minute now. And it's like, well, it's not actually. I know it isn't. Mm-hmm. I get what you're doing, but it was much praised for its soundscape, but that's not what did it to me. I have said this before, but I have not said it in the presence of someone who has freshly finished the game. I actually thought, and this is something that I think is much more difficult to do notably or laudably now, since video has always sort of been such a necessarily impressive thing. If you don't have impressive visuals, then you're not meeting, you know.
Yeah,
impressive is par, you know. Mm-hmm. But I thought they did some very subtle things with lighting that they were not widely enough praised for. It was audio, because audio is scary. Well, yes, mm-hmm. but specifically when you were in the engine room.
Yeah.
That's one of, like, it was very striking to me, not because of how glaring it was or how overblown it was, but for how there was the sense of like an enormous space. But because it was so dark and the lighting was sort of inadequate to pierce through the fog of, like, you know, shit hanging in the engine room air, mm-hmm. you were never quite sure how the space was defined, where the mm-hmm. engine room walls were. You could sort of move in and amongst and throughout all of this really monstrous equipment that made up the engineering section of this ship, but you could never tell exactly where the outer definition was. It mm-hmm. really reminded me of some of the things from the first Alien film.
Mm-hmm.
How there was, like, clearly you're in a giant space, but you don't exactly know how giant because it's not defined by a light border, mm-hmm. you know? You're in a cloud, or it recedes into blackness, something like that. Like, they did a really, really good job with that. And that actually, like, contributed more to my uneasiness than anything
it's
else.
It's got, like, that claustrophobic feeling in a wide-open space. Yeah. That's really what he did, yeah. really.
Yeah, you were both claustrophobic and exposed mm-hmm. at the same time. It's, like, very, mm-hmm. like, you turn those two sort of nuanced forms of paranoia against one another,
mm-hmm.
and you've got a very interesting interplay. I think they did that. It was really great. But
mm-hmm.
How long did it take you to beat it? Like 12 hours, 14 hours, something like that?
Yeah, it's about that. But I mean, it probably did a little more because I was exploring everywhere. I mean,
yeah.
really, the real way I played it, especially around the third, fourth chapter, and then on, you know, that option where you could shine a light where you're supposed to go, and I went
yeah.
opposite. Of that direction.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's okay, you're supposed to go down this hall. Okay, well, I'll just go down this way just to see what's down there.
Yeah.
I might find some other stuff. And that was another thing about Dead Space that got me, because I remember you were talking about you and Scott got on with Resident Evil. The tension came when you ran out of bullets.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I never had
just
that.
Not knowing what the fuck to do.
Yeah. But I never was short for ammo in that game, I found. Because really, if you're good enough with a plasma cutter, that's pretty much really the only weapon you need.
Yeah,
I found.
Well, and that's why
you get an achievement for it.
Yeah, that's why there's specifically
really, yeah.
achievements for it. And if you really just dedicate, if you dedicate all of your upgrade cycles to that weapon, like
I've seen it with all nodes in action. Oh, it is awesome when all the nodes are in place.
I really do believe that the line gun
mm-hmm.
is like an ass saver. Sometimes, mm-hmm. like, if you just fuck up and you wind up with too many things in front of you,
mm-hmm.
like, whatever. No more. All right. Now you all don't have legs. So
mm-hmm.
now I can back up and deal with you
yeah.
with my plasma, with mm-hmm. my plasma cutter. But, you know, the pulse rifle was nice when you finally get it. It was like, okay, like a proper
yeah.
firearm.
Yeah, that's
and
two weapons
I actually beat the game, beat the final boss with that gun.
Mm-hmm.
Largely because I had plenty of ammo, and you know what I'm talking about with the final fight, the way you're kind of getting...
Yeah, you're getting slung around a place. Okay, I want you to be accurate while I'm flinging you all over the screen. Okay, yeah,
It was a much easier weapon to use for that particular kind of... A lot of people I know had trouble with it, and it was like, honestly, I had lots of ammo for that gun, and I just, you know, spray. Mm-hmm. Like, that was it. So, well, on the whole, though, how do you feel about it?
Did you have to play on, like, on normal or
difficult?
Yeah, on normal. Yeah, I mean, I did it with a plasma cutter on that last boss. I mean, I just waited for the reticle to get in that big yellow spot and just started plugging away. Yeah. Like, by that time, it was a pretty powerful, my most powerful weapon at the time anyway.
Yeah, that's true. It's a good point. It's a good point.
Good, too. But, yeah, it was a reminder of what survival horror is supposed to be.
Yeah,
every element, really. It has.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. How about the story? How about the ending, basically?
Yeah.
Because I didn't know the thing that you told me until you told me.
Yeah, about the first letter of each chapter.
The first letter of each chapter's name spells out
the
thing. It spells out the twist, the secret.
Yeah, the twist of the whole story.
I had no idea until you told me.
Thing and little thing. Yeah.
Even though I could kind of see it coming from around the corner.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
The way that they were.
Especially where all the other characters were. Just seeing things. Things that weren't supposed to happen is happening.
Yeah.
There's a dementia going on.
It was just the way it was explained, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to tell other people who have not come to Dead Space in any way, shape, or form now that, like, stay away from the expanded material until after you play the game, because it's spoiler, but, like, you watched all the animated.
I did, yeah.
And it's like, well, you kind of know what, from which vector the evil is sort of angling toward you when you've seen that. I won't say that it spoils everything, but it sort of kind of does a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the game is best left to as the lead form of media for delivering that story. But nonetheless,
that's something I have to do, though. By the way, I have to look at those.
Watch the movie, watch the comic.
Complete the game. Now I can watch the other stuff.
Right.
And, get a little more background of everything.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely excited for sequels and all sorts of other things happening. So, that's really good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Shit, I can't think of anything else I played though. I swear to God, I've done like lots of like spaceshipping and guy shooting in really awesome high resolution. hey, thanks for Peggle. By the way, that's great. I used to like playing on my 360, but now it plays Peggle all the time. So that's really awesome.
Well,
that's really good. Hey, I'm home. I wonder where Dana is. There's the dogs. The lights are on. Wait, what's that sound? Da 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 da. Okay, she's playing Peggle. I guess I'll be playing Eve.
Scott nearly spits his water again.
Yeah.
Because those were tied to the same screen, and so you've got...
That's largely what I did. I was like, you know what, you don't ever touch this damn thing. And sometimes I really just want to play on a console, so I'm going to put this in here. What with the built-in Wi-Fi? And play my game.
Where are you at on the DS?
Well, I just downloaded my browser, and Jeremy didn't get to see the
download animation.
Really,
yeah.
Cute download animation. That's really awesome.
What's the download animation?
Well, it's, you know, far better than files flying through the air from one folder to another.
Yeah.
Well, since you're not familiar, the download animation for the Wii.
Mario runs across the screen constantly, collecting a coin every now and then.
Okay.
And then as he gets further, he busts a block, you know, gets the little coin out of it. And once the third one, he gets that, then it's done.
Yeah, this one's fun.
What's this?
Hold on, I already downloaded
this one.
That.
Is
No, I'll show him. It's fun.
What are you going to download?
Well, I'm a fucking something. I just downloaded the browser. I'm going to download one of my games with my 1,000 free points.
I'm hoarding my points.
I'm not. I'm going to buy a something real quick.
Remember, James is objective oriented. Remember?
Yes, goddammit.
Well, I'm trying to remember. I read reviews.
Go!
You're farming your KD ratio with this shit. I'm just trying to take a flag. I'm trying to figure out what it is I want, though. I do not want WarioWare snapped. Shit balls. I don't know what I want. Hold on. I'm looking. Talk about something.
Got any news, man?
There is some news.
There's plenty of news. I didn't know where to begin with the news.
Well, you got to just forget about it. They already know what happened last week.
There's some good April Fool's news, though.
There's no such goddamn thing, actually.
Actually, there was one good thing.
There was one, and I'm glad you noticed it.
Twisted Pixel?
No.
Okay, because that's what I was thinking about.
That's not an April Fool's
No,
joke.
No, but
that's
they
real.
Used April Fool's brilliantly.
Yes.
By announcing their game on April Fool's
April
in
Fool's
a way that made it sound like an April Fool's
when
joke.
I got that first
and then the
release,
next day,
like,
yeah.
I can't post this.
Then the next day, they're like, by the way, that was not an April Fool's. We're completely serious.
They're like, hey, we're not kidding.
How brilliant is that? You get everybody to look
what,
at
so
your
what
thing.
What are they doing?
Explosion Man.
Explosion Man.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Straight and, reverse psychology on that.
Yeah, he's like this little flaming stick figure guy. Who looks like crazy, adorable in a crazy way, and when his enemies blow up, they turn into like meat and shit.
Nice.
This is the press release we got on April Fool's Day. On April Fool's Day, Twisted Pixel reveals the most awesomest game of all times. We'll call it Explosion Man. Twisted Pixel.
It's worded like an April Fool's story.
Yeah. Twisted Pixel Games, creators of the Maw, announced today their plans for a new game, another heartwarming tale of courage and, yes, even love. Michael Wilford, who we've had on the show, screw that. Let's just make a game where stuff blows up. Creative director Josh Baer says, yeah, lots of explosions, like a guy made out of explosions. And he'd be like, explode, 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 and then things die. And, of course, the omnipresent whatever interviewer of this press release says, things die. Yeah, but not like regular dying. He'll explode people, and they'll blow up into big steaks and ribeyes and stuff. Lead designer Sean Riley added, put it in a lab with lots of glass to break, then slow motion, and scientists diving away being all like, oh, no, I can't believe we made Explosion Man. Add Sean, but then they get exploded, too. A game rich in tapestry of story and depth? No, 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 no. Just explosions. We blow the whole budget on things getting exploded. Nothing else? What the hell else do you need? So that's the press release we got.
Hold on. I'm downloading something.
Okay, he's going to watch
see.
It. What did you pick, by the way?
Oh, that's great.
Everybody puts little balls of internet in that block. And then once the block fills up with internet, you get to play your whatever.
Like the block up
there. Oh, that's great.
I'm downloading Art Style Acquia.
Yeah, it's basically the cast of Mario 2 carrying things in a Mario 2 fashion and
yes.
throwing them in a Mario 2 fashion. Thing. So like,
and see, and so it's
the Wii downloading is very Mario 1.
Colored blue.
So this is Mario 2 downloading.
The color of the internet is blue, and this block is filling up with blue. So that's when you know that there's enough internets.
I love it. That's cute.
I thought that the April Fool's thing that I thought you saw was the StarCraft II base that transforms.
Oh, into a Transformer, yeah.
Yeah.
The
no,
ultimate,
I
the
didn't
ultimate
see this.
Terran weapon for StarCraft II. It's when all the elements of a Terran base.
And they called it Terratron.
Which it's basically, I mean, it's somewhere between a Transformer, like, you know, a multi-part Transformer and Voltron. Like,
right,
that's
right.
Really where it was
but
at.
In the release, it was like the base could speak when it had transformed.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he says, Terratron terrorize. And I knew you would get a big kick out of that
yes,
from Beast Wars.
Beast Wars.
Well, here's the thing, though, man. Like, as often happens, like, Blizzard wins April Fool's. because their level of production. Like, come on, dude. Anybody who does what they do,
mm-hmm.
like... Can you imagine, like, and I know it probably didn't take, like, a million years, but, like, if you look at, they didn't just do StarCraft, they did, like, April Fools for every single one of their
the
properties.
World of Warcraft forums were all, whatever they did to the forums.
No, they had the one for StarCraft, they also had the one for, the World of Warcraft one was Epic Dance-Offs.
Epic Dance.
And they had, like, they just created, like, you know, they had, like, all this art and shit for it, and, what the hell was the one for Diablo?
Diablo was the oh, God, I'm going to fucking mispronounce it. The Archivist?
Oh, son of a bitch, that was the best one.
Yeah.
The new character class, the Archivist.
Yeah.
Who, all of his abilities, of course, are relegated to, like, you know, texts and readings thereof from tomes and all of these things. He has no direct attacks. He simply assails his opponents with, you know, truth and history and like all of these various things, like, and it just like the picture and like, you know, his various like his text tree for attacks is fucking amazing. It was like truly truly great. Like Blizzard, they just win. They the amount of manpower they must dedicate to like an April Fool's thing in comparison to everyone else's April Fool's caper,
right,
is probably really extraordinary. So, yeah, I mean, April Fool's happen, and it's like, you know, I like the April Fool's jokes, but I hate the fact that I can't you know, this is going to sound like a really ironic statement, that I can't trust the internet for one day.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be like, and I made this analogy on Facebook.
Yeah, it was a good analogy.
I was like, yeah, this is, if you imagine if you turned on your water one day out of the year and it was brown for the entire day, the same day
that's
every
April
year.
That's April Fool's on
that,
the internet.
That's today on the internet. Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, it's full of shit anyway, but you at least have the internet's measure the other 364 days. Like, April Fool's, it's like, I don't know where anything is.
Yeah.
I have to, like,
I have no idea what the news
water.
Really is. Yeah.
Well, they sent me a press release, and I didn't believe them for a second.
Well, the Twisted Pixel thing I thought was absolutely brilliant, because you put something out there that's ridiculous and fun. People look at it and go, oh yeah, that would be funny. You know, and then they move on. Then the next day you're like, oh, by the way, we're really making that.
Yeah.
Did you
and
see
so
the,
you punch
pictures?
Them. You punch them twice. You get in their mind twice. And if you can get people to, you know, see your thing twice in that short a period of time, people are going to remember it, and it makes an impact. So I thought it was just a brilliant use of April Fool's Day.
Did you see the pictures?
Yeah, yeah.
The giant steak monster?
Yes!
Made out of ribeyes and T-bones?
That's great.
It's great.
I cannot wait to play Explosion Man.
Explosion Man. while we were away, what else happened? Squeenix bought Eidos.
They finished that off?
Yeah.
Yep.
They now own it.
Deal's done.
That's crazy. I hope something happens there. I don't even care what. I'm just like, that's, you know, I don't want to say necessarily like chocolate and peanut butter, because like neither one of them is that good anymore. but it's definitely like some, you know, maybe a little bit of red beans and rice.
Some peanut butter jelly.
I'm just trying to think of like, yeah. I'm just saying, like, you know, I want those two things to be very interesting. Maybe they do something. Maybe they're not. Maybe they just bought them and they're going to fucking fire everybody. And I don't know. I don't know what the hell they wanted. So, but whatever. There it is. That's pretty interesting.
I'm looking over.
There's a number of things that, I mean, this is stuff that's happened. And I'm looking more at stuff that's, like, happened right now, because I told you, like, these guys, they already know what happened last week. And I haven't watched it yet because I feel like such a shithead, but apparently there's... Did you watch the Bioshock 2 footage?
Nope.
No.
And apparently first Bioshock 2 footage available on the that there Game Trailers TV.
That's this week, though, isn't it?
I thought that had already happened.
Yeah, I think it's this
Friday. Oh, no, it's 2 days away. Never mind. I thought that I got... Yeah. All right.
And it's this week. You haven't missed anything.
You're at least aware, though, of its existence, then.
Yeah, and aware of Assassin's Creed 2's little teaser site that went up.
With its theoretical... leanings toward Venice.
Yes.
It would appear. Good setting.
I'm very...
Lots of shit to climb.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need shit to climb. Too.
Yeah. Well, and like, and the rumors that he can swim this time, it's like, well, good.
Yeah.
Because there's some shit to swim in Venice.
That's what always bothered me about Assassin's Creed. He's got all this agility and all this talent and skill, and he can climb and get up like Spider-Man and everything,
yeah.
But he can't swim.
Well... That's, right.
Water's been hard for a lot of characters over the years.
It has. Well
the fucking Overlord couldn't even step over a stick, you know, so
yeah.
Or a rock or a tree stump. It was sad shape.
In defense
for an all-powerful,
like,
evil being.
Yeah. In defense of Altair's epic fail, anywhere Water's concerned, he's like wearing a lot of heavy shit. You know? He's like wearing his outfit itself is like, you know, layers on top of layers of shit. He's wearing, like, lots of things made of metal. Knives and swords and other knives. You know?
Swords.
And, swords with knives on them. You know, like, whatever the hell he was using. Like, he had lots of shit, so... Whatever, I don't know. Maybe it was holy water. Fuck if I know. Yeah, he needs to be able to swim. And totally do, like, that breather reed thing like he was a ninja or something. Because he's basically a ninja. So, yes, that's gonna happen. I almost bit this weekend Steam dangling that hook in front of my face again.
Anniversary?
Five bones for anniversary.
Didn't you already play that, though?
I played it the first time when it was just Tomb Raider.
Oh, I thought you played it.
And then
it
I played it on the 360.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I also compared it to the PC version, which looks about... is immeasurably prettier.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And also $5. You can't, like, get that face where it's like, why would you buy this? Man, I don't know. It's fine because it's $5. I fucking need it. Fuck's sake, I fucking bought Lost Planet, for God's sake.
Yeah,
I already own Lost Planet.
but it was $5.
It was $5 goddamn to see how much better it would be on the PC. And, like, you know, for the amount of time I'll probably ultimately play, it's well worth $5. So, what do you think about that there, that there blockbuster?
What happened?
They're kind of like, they're teetering. That's the, basically, it's come out that they're like, hey, we're sort of almost dead.
Oh.
You know, in bankruptcy and
Didn't get that
business
story.
Sucks, yeah. I mean, sort of sucks because that's like, you know, that's like one of the pillars of my gaming. Because I mean, I know that there's like every other service, but I'm not the kind of person that will always replace one service with another service. I'll just add a service.
Yeah.
So like, I've got Gamefly, but I still go to Blockbuster sometimes for things I don't want to bother Gamefly.
Mm-hmm. Blockbuster is how I got Resident Evil 5 so quick.
Yeah.
You know,
well, because we got one right down the street from our house. Yeah. We, like, know the guys. And,
they
like,
had
hey,
20-some-odd copies of PS5 for 360.
Well, and they'll, like...
Four for PS3.
Like, they'll hold one. They'll hold stuff for us, and it's, like... Also, like, if you pay their, like,
their
monthly
thing... Lucky I got
Dead
Space
in that's, like, you know... Whatever. I've gone back, like, 3 times in a day and been, like, I didn't like this game.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like this game. This game's okay.
I've actually done that with their movies, too. I've rented a movie, go home, watched it, and, like... All right,
yeah.
Give me another one. Yeah,
I've done that plenty of times, and so it's like a thing. It's a thing I like to avail myself of, and sort of sad I didn't read the particulars, but you know, like there it is. Maybe not looking that good. They need money. Doesn't look like they can get money. And
money's hard to come by.
It is hard to come by. It's very hard to come by. It's out there, I'm told. People starting letting go of it. Fuck else.
Your game done downloading?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I totally have, like, 2 games now. Or, no, a game and a browser, I'm sorry. And 500 points. I kind of want Bird and Beans, just because I don't know why. Because it's called Bird and Beans. I don't even know what it does.
It's a bird that eats beans that are falling from the sky.
Really?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Essentially.
For the bird.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there I am. I also have a... an actual physical.
I was gonna say, why don't you pop that in?
Yeah. Also got a.
You got Chinatown Wars.
Copy of Chinatown Wars,
which we've heard nothing but great things about.
Yeah. The only thing, you know, the only mistake this game made, apparently, and I'm speaking, of course, in the eyes of the general population, is not being on, you know, the 360.
Yeah, one of the home consoles.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I'm sure there are an awful lot of. Y'all got that new GTA?
Yeah, here you go.
Country? Yeah.
You give it to them and then they're
you got
like,
that there DS? I got that there GTA. I always loved those days. Back at ye old game store.
Which was called what at the time?
Software, etc.
That's right.
Y'all got that Madden?
Y'all got that Madden. Yep.
Y'all got that.
Y'all got that money?
Residential Evil game?
Residential.
Oh, God.
Residential.
Residential.
Jay, did I ever tell you about that guy that asked the question, I got a memory card, it's full, should I throw it away?
Nice.
What did he do? He had a what?
He came in the store, walked up to the counter, and literally asked, I have a memory card, and it's full. Should I throw it away?
A memory card. Like you said, a member card. I was like, what the fuck is that?
Memory,
like,
memory card.
A memory card.
Yeah, man. Hand it to me. I'll toss it.
Yeah, I'll take care of that.
We'll take care of it for you, sir. We'll take care of it.
We've got a new one right over here you can buy.
Yeah, this is too crazy to be made up, man. This is just,
retail. Nintendo would probably make a killing if they put out an SD card that had all of their Nintendo.
You know, a completely dishonest GameStop employee could be like, yes, but you know what? We offer trade-ins for memory cards.
Oh, that's cute. Did you see the front end that I showed to you? This is the new front end for the system. Like drag.
That is really slick.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
And this is like these are all the like basically the.
Oh, the
these
slots
are all the, these
for
are all
your
the,
downloaded.
These are all
apps?
The blocks that are part of the built-in memory.
Nice.
There's so many. You know, this is all my blocks. And
yeah,
of
that's
course,
right. You have
where,
an SD card. In
this
there,
is
so.
Where. Yeah, I'm gonna buy a cheapo SD card or something. But then, you know, that's where that would go.
Brilliant.
And then you see all that there as well. But like, I thought this was just a wonderful. Improvement over the previous
system.
Damn
it.
Should we stop talking about the DSi, Jeremy?
It's too late.
Yeah. Man, you know, I'm not much into portable gaming, but I'm even thinking about getting one of these.
Yeah. And, like, you know, there's your download play stuff. And then when you download something, like, a little gift box appears.
All right, what happens when you touch it?
There's an animation when you open it.
Ah, it's your browser. Hey, I'm your browser. This is like, I'm a game. That's really awesome.
Have you turned up your brightness? Is it still on 4? Have you turned it up to 5?
Did I do that? I can't remember. I played with it. I'm not sure if it's 4 or 5. This is way bright, though.
The volume is now like a rock.
It's like a rocker. It's not a slider.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet. I have a wonderful little system. I'm glad. I'm happy. I spent the time and the money on it so far. But yeah. This is a lot of fun. I expect these to be everywhere. It was very funny looking at the little case at our local GameStop where they, not our local, but the one where we bought these at, like where they keep the used handhelds.
Did it constantly fill up with lights?
Yeah, when I bought mine today, they were like 15, 16.
Damn. Mine's in there.
Between lights and all lights, one fat, and an SP. Mm. Still got my SP. I'm not going to get rid of that one.
All right. While he's doing that.
Yeah, sorry, I'm playing.
I know. One other thing to mention was they were getting some more Halo books.
Yeah.
Yeah, dealing with the...
Oh, that's right, about the Forerunners.
Dealing with the Forerunners, which is nice, because we don't really get a lot of information on those guys. And what they're about and everything else.
And why the Covenant worship them.
We hear it... Yeah, that's the thing. We hear about it secondhand from the Covenant, the humans, the Spartans, that sort of thing. That's where we get the information about what they are, what they mean. But yeah, now they're going to really get deep into that stuff.
I'm glad that, you know, other people are taking the opportunity to use that world to tell some good fiction.
It's a big world, and I'm glad that they're doing it, too. I'm almost done with Cole Protocol, and I'll be looking forward to those books. We could jump into some mail here. When was the last time, Jeremy, did you check your in-game chat mail?
Because
I sent you something earlier this week.
I don't know. What'd you send me?
No, I sent you something. There was just show stuff is all I sent you about. But what are you looking at? Chinatown Wars?
Nah, just playing with the browser.
Oh.
You know,
yeah.
There it is. Would it be?
Anyway, Travis. Yes, Travis emailed everyone, but he was specifically talking to you. He says, after an extended Google search on the lyrics to the intro song to the Old News episode, sample lyric, Let's Burn It Up and Watch the Sky Ignite, I came up empty but still maintained a desire to know the artist of title and title of said song. I was wondering if you guys could help me out with that. You don't remember the song,
do you? What he's talking about?
It was a catchy tune when I first heard it, and then when we got this email, I realized where it came from after having played Mad World.
Oh, okay.
Did you take a song from there?
Yeah, I did.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you remember the name of it at all? Or
I think I just used the first two songs on the Mad World soundtrack.
Okay. I was wondering why that was in there as well. I was like, what is this song? I don't know. What is he doing? I couldn't make the connection.
Gotcha.
But then when I played Mad World...
Uh-huh. Then you made the connection?
I was like, okay, yeah. There's a song. Yeah. Okay. But yeah, that's where I totally got that from. So he was curious as to that and that's where it's from.
I'll come back in a couple days with the artist and title, because I've still got the soundtrack on my PC, but I didn't bring my PC with me today. I epic failed. So
no, you didn't. So yeah, I wanted to get that question out of the way because I know he was very curious about
all right.
that. And we'll probably go over the other questions some other time when we've prepared.
Go ahead. It'll be funny to watch me, like, fumble around.
They're big... Okay,
and then we can go back and answer them for real in a couple days, maybe.
Well, first off, we got the email from Colt Lemons, who apparently works in a store, and so he took pictures of signs and then changed it to, say, Itchy Tasty.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. That was good.
I loved it.
I swear we're going to make a T-shirt out of that someday.
Yeah. He says he wrote in, he did that, which was awesome, but then he also wrote in to tell us about he said he agrees that Halo Wars is a great vehicle for the story and mythos of the series. I just don't think that the other games failed in that regard. True, you don't get much of the story through them, but it always seemed to me that you really shouldn't. The other three games are all told from the first-person perspective. In literature that is written in the first person, the character is never granted a look at the whole story. So it's always seemed appropriate to me that as Master Chief, you're only seeing a small part of the story.
Yeah, that's a valid... That's actually a really valid thing to say. I would, of course,
I never looked at it that way. Yeah.
I would, of course, counter by saying, like, Master Chief's the fucking hammer in the first story. Like, you know, and he's got... it's told from first person. There are also devices being brought to bear, like Cortana, for instance, who is as close to some kind of immortal familiar mm-hmm. as you could possibly get, who is plugged into all sort of manner of information gathering and communication and has an awareness well beyond your character and sort of informs you in ways that you by yourself could not necessarily get. You'd have to sort of pursue all this information directly, and she just sort of dumps it on you when you need it, which is fine. But also, like, he's a guy getting all the shit done. Even if he's only seeing a piece of the story, it's certainly got to be one of the biggest pieces, and he is right there out in front of it. You know, he's mm-hmm. right on the bow. And in 2, and this is one of the reasons I like 2 so much, again, yes, told from the first-person perspective. But
a different character.
But two separate characters yes. sort of converging on the same point from two different directions. Like, it's one of the reasons that I thought that they actually used a lot of, like, really, really great narrative devices in 2. 2 is... 2's single player is very underappreciated.
By the way, the Arbiter, they have used him in those books a lot.
Yeah.
Arbiter's in Cold Protocol. Arbiter was... either at the end of that second Halo novel, Fall of Reach, I think, or he was at the end of... he was at the end of Fall of Reach. Arbiter showed up at the end of Fall of Reach. And, he's all over the place. They use him a lot. He went on to say that Halo Wars is very rich in the presentation of the story, but you aren't playing as one character. You're in a far more godlike role. Yeah. Doing the play and actions from your perspective. And so, yeah, that's a good point. Next, by the way, Colt Lemons' gamer tag, he gave it to us, is Luckless Wonder. If anybody
Luckless
wants
Wonder.
To add him.
Bet it will.
On the 360. Let's see.
What do you got?
Drew MG emailed us. Andy. He was just starting to listen to the old news episode. Enjoyed the conversation we had about the future of the console market and storage space. He's a Wii 60 gamer who has spent a good deal of money on downloadable games on both systems, but a Red Ring has him a bit worried as to what happens when Microsoft phases out the 360 for their next system.
Yeah, you and me both, man.
He says
I think about that occasionally, and then I realize I don't like thinking about that.
Kind of puts you off to buying some of that stuff, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. First off, I'm not a day one buyer, says Andy, so I'll have my 360 for a while yet. I'm concerned as to what happens to all the stuff I bought digitally 5 years down the line when the 360 is well out of our system mm-hmm. and we're all gaming on whatever it is Microsoft and Sony serve up next. This is the first generation of consoles I can think of where I have lost resale value on a large portion of my gaming library, and on top of that, everything is DRM encoded. Do you think Microsoft will make the next console backwards compatible for Xbox Live Arcade games? If not, what happens when all the 360s in the world have red-ringed and MS has ceased to support them? That's a lot of dollars of games spent that cannot be recovered.
I honestly have no idea what they'll do. I think it would be infinitely appreciated and valuable and smart to make it backwards compatible with the previous library of Live Arcade stuff.
It's got to be. I mean, you spend that amount of money. Microsoft loves...
Because then you also can continue to sell from that library.
Microsoft loves to tout those numbers. Mm-hmm. You know, we've had this many achievements made, or, you know, we've had this many games downloaded from the Xbox Live Arcade or the Marketplace or whatever else. Well, if you suddenly cut off the use of those, that's a lot of money that was just thrown away.
Yep.
You know, a ton of stuff. And he goes on to say, it's very easy to go back and play the NES and SNES games, even today. For every NES that blinks off and on, there's a dozen more that work just fine. Things simply won't be as easy for the current generation.
That's right.
When we're looking back in 20 years. Secondly, do you think that Microsoft and Sony will make their next console bleeding edge at the risk of failure price?
I think it's far less likely now than it was, you know, at the beginning of this generation, because they've both been bitten.
I think Sony probably learned a big lesson.
Well, Sony learned a lesson based on, you know, the price they had to charge. And Microsoft learned a lesson because of, you know, the failure of their systems. So, yeah, I think they might scale back just a little bit.
The 360 and PS3 were very cutting edge in 2005, 2006, and it has cost them market share and consumer confidence. I feel that is probable that they will attempt to refine the existing hardware and release a marginally more powerful system in 2011, 2012, much like Nintendo did in 2006.
Probably not to the extent Nintendo did. I mean, Nintendo's was literally just marginally more powerful. I can see Microsoft and Sony still making systems much more powerful than the existing ones, but probably not just complete bleeding edge like they did this time.
I don't know where the hell I... These guys are obviously moving toward the next step, whatever it is, right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're smart people. There are a lot of analysts. There are probably a lot of engineers thinking about what that next thing has to be. And as often as we've said, you know, this is the thing. The viability of the digital distribution,
mm-hmm,
is going to be much more is going to be apparent much sooner than the ultimate failure of storage or transferability of that stuff is. You know, that's a problem that's going to show up kind of after the fact, which is why it's going to suck so much.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, we know the problem exists right now.
Right.
We're talking about it. Nonetheless, at the very moment we're talking about it, I'm like, you know, downloading shit digitally. It's non-transferable.
You're watching them fill up your box full of internet.
Yeah. Like,
this is the first generation that we've really, you know, that we've massively jumped on, you know, digital distribution,
yeah,
for video games.
And it's like, we figured out how to make it
world
happen. But we got to figure out how to make it last.
Yeah.
So, and I, you know.
Now, are any of them thinking about, like, the consequences, whatever they may be? I don't know. Will there be a consumer backlash if they drop backwards compatibility? If you can't carry your library to the next box or the PS4 or whatever?
Yeah.
I don't know. I would think there would be, just because so many people are entrenched.
Well,
have sunk so much money into
look,
it.
Look at how much they themselves have been sold on their own idea.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this previously. Like, they like this idea more than they did before.
Mm-hmm.
They were very trepidatious. It took, like, really tiny steps in the early stages of developing Live in this generation.
Mm-hmm.
And their steps have been bigger and bigger and bigger. They've been grabbing for more or offering more, depending on how you want to look at it. That's without a doubt, without even a thought, that's such a huge part of what the next machine is going to be.
Well, they were so timid about it that they didn't even know if they wanted to put a hard drive on the thing.
Yeah.
They made that optional.
Yeah.
Because they're like, I don't know. But now it's a big part of what they do.
Yeah, you know there's going to be a big hard drive on the next
Xbox. Oh, fuck yeah. Mandatory.
All right, so let's not even talk about backlash. Let's reverse that concept. How do you get me to buy the next thing,
mm-hmm,
if all my fucking property is wrapped up in this thing?
Yeah.
Like, you've invested.
It's not just a game collection, because in previous generations, yeah, your new console didn't play your old games, but A, you still had the old console, which I guess you can, you know, you still have, but you also had all those games. If you sold your console, you could sell your games.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's not what you put into it, but it's your property and you get something back for it. You know,
yeah,
you trade it in, you sell it, you do whatever. Put it in your local, you know, trade paper or whatever. But now, you get rid of your console and all that DLC just evaporates as though it has no value.
Yep.
And that's going to be, I think, a tough pill for a lot of people to swallow, because it's not just your games now. You've also invested into an identity with your gamer tag and your achievements,
mm-hmm,
which are tied to all these things you've bought.
So
And look at Rock Band,
be,
you know, all
yeah.
the money you spend buying songs for Rock Band, and
does that transfer to a new system? And there's a lot of stuff to consider. And I think they have to be really careful going into it. I don't know if they're aware of it. I think somebody will probably misstep, and it may be.
I think there's somebody in charge of that. I think they said, you need to figure out how we're going to do this.
These people don't seem very smart to me most of the time. I don't know that they're thinking about any of this.
That's a good point.
They may all blow it. They may all come out with systems that carry nothing over other than your gamer tag and achievements.
Well, I would only say that I think where they were at the beginning of this generation is not where they are now.
Right.
It's a completely different. Yeah.
You know, landscape map.
They were so unsure about the capability about this particular thing that they just didn't really want to go with it. You know, you remember the way Sony, like,
oh yeah,
you want to talk about the way, like, where Microsoft's head was. Look at where Sony's head was at the beginning of, like, at their systems.
Sony's just finally gotten their shit together. Yeah,
it wasn't even there. You know, you could say that Xbox Live was empty, but it was at least there. At least it was an empty space. Like, the PlayStation Network was non-existent.
And stuff started trickling in, you know, pretty quick.
And now it's like...
So, yeah.
Now it's a fucking
right.
thing.
You're right. It is one of the first times where a console generation is so far different at the end of its life cycle than it was at the beginning.
And we're not even at the end.
No. We're not. I'm just saying that, you know, you look back at when the GameCube was released. By the end of the GameCube's era, there was nothing fundamentally different there.
So I only say that to suggest that maybe the issue is this whole... I mean, you know how immovable and, like, how little agility companies of this size actually have. So for them to say, okay, we don't really know. Like, this is a big step to just decide so much of our business is not going to take place on little plastic discs. They didn't really know. You know, they don't know how people are going to respond to this sort of shit. There was no model for it in the console world. So, yes, all right, now it works. Now everything is great. They're having to shift their weight at least somewhat in that direction. And these kinds of companies are not good at shifting their weight. They're good at throwing it around, but with no elegance.
Right.
So what I would say is that this is just playing devil's advocate. They clearly know a little better how this works now, how to have a console that's good at two things, at selling little plastic discs for basically existing in an offline sales capacity and an online sales capacity, and blending the two somewhat, but being capable of both. I think that is probably bullet point number one going into the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
If somewhere, as a subset of that, has got to be, you come to me first fucking thing with your new console and say, hey, all your shit, man, totally transferable. Step one, treat it like my fucking Mac does. Hey, you want to plug into your old Mac and get all your shit?
Mm-hmm.
All right, great, here we go. That was great.
That's a great idea.
And you know what?
That's a good idea. What you have to do now, whenever you get a new console, to bring over your... Your licenses that you essentially purchased... you have to do that whole once a year thing where you have to go to Xbox.com and do whatever else and blah, blah, blah. Once you get all that set up, you have to go through and re-download everything. Now, it only takes like less than a minute to re-download it if it's already on your hard drive because you're not downloading the game. You're just grabbing that license again.
Yeah, right.
So it takes, you know... It takes the time that you do now whenever you play a trial version and you want to buy it. It's just that quick.
Honestly, you know what I think they should do is instead of reinventing their console's entire architecture every 5 years, do it more like the PC. Stick to a basic architecture. You know, PC's mostly x86 these days. Even the Macs are. And build on it. You know, better GPU. Backwards compatible, better everything, more RAM, just you know, PlayStation stick with the Cell processor, Xbox stick with their it's a PowerPC architecture, isn't it? Like something like three core thing.
It's even closer than that, closer than what it used to be.
But I mean, Sony's already using an NVIDIA GPU, so you know, use a more powerful NVIDIA GPU, faster
Cell. Do whatever
cell,
the hell you have to do to make the OEM to make the necessary OEM deals. Stick with your basic hardware profile.
Guarantee me my software backwards compatibility.
Yeah.
and make a more powerful system.
And then you know what you got? If you're looking at the same basic...
that already know how to program for your system.
Exactly. So you have so you actually have
Microsoft, hire us.
A serious...
We just figured it out.
You actually can crest a serious number of day one titles or something like that. Like, you can start fighting the fight on the first day. Not making future promises. So, it's interesting because we really are, regardless of the fact that nobody's talking seriously about the issue, we are starting to get to the point now where it's what we've always done. Regardless of what their plans may be, the market moves the way the market does. The market being, in this case, the consumers, the enthusiasts.
Right.
All of us.
They're always wondering what's next.
Yeah, well, and there's a time. There's a certain point in time when you recognize that, like, your console has, for the most part, made its last giant steps. Now it's just sort of getting better at what it's already doing. Mm-hmm. You know, you've seen the upper limit of what its graphical capabilities are. Now you improve by small percentages over everything else. Then you start looking for the next thing. Like, that's how we are.
Yeah.
And they may not even be ready to feed that to us, but they need to be. Because people are going to want it at some point. And it's an exciting time. It's always really exciting moving into that sort of stuff. I like it. Feels like it's a little bit quick to be doing it yet, but, you know.
I hope that answered your question, Andy.
Yeah, I don't know. It's definitely going to be very cool, and we'll see, like, if Sony really means what they mean when they say, when we talk about the longevity of the system.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, it doesn't have to be just this system. They can do what they've always done. I don't know. Maybe they'll juggle three systems at a time. Who knows?
Jason from COG writes in. Actually, he's Doogie2K on COG.
All right.
He says, going as far back as January, I've had two comments and questions that I keep meaning to ask. First, I was waiting until I was caught up, but since I'm perpetually 1 to 2 weeks behind all my podcasts, fucking GDC, that's out the window.
Hopefully we've given you a chance to catch up since we've been gone for so long
now.
Yeah. Number one, in your year-end episode for 2008,
all right,
you neglected one of the better Wii games of the year in No More Heroes. Or at least I didn't hear you make reference to it when summarizing what came out for the Wii that year. I bought it on Boxing Day for $20, and while I haven't gotten around to it yet, due to the aforementioned busyness, I have heard nothing but good things about it from the few and proud who have played it.
Yeah, I've been told the same thing. I ought to buy that. I don't have a Wii. I should totally play it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've heard from several people whose opinions I respect that it's a great game, and I've never gotten around to playing it. I really need to. It's just one of those things, you know?
Yeah, it's one of those things that occasionally we don't do right by everything.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Now, his second question is more of a... it's more of an episode structure thing, the way we do the show.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus Christ, man, it's really weird.
Yeah.
Our lack thereof.
Yeah. He was just curious. The last he had heard was that a lot of us were kind of going to be leaving and going elsewhere. And
Dan and I were going to be moving. That's still like in my future, but it's totally crazy. We were supposed to be leaving at the end of the year last year.
And what happens to the economy?
Yeah, well, a number of things happened simultaneously, and it's really funny that at the really like in the month when we were supposed to go, the position she was supposed to transfer into disappeared.
Yeah.
In the company, and basically, like, transfers disappeared, and I didn't already have a thing lined up, but she already did, and, like, housing turned ugly really fast. The stock market tanked. We had a little bit of investment there and lost it for the most part, so, you know, we're sitting on stuff that's not worth even remotely what it was before, and it, like... In the blink of an eye, it seems like it just became completely dangerous with our situation to attempt moving all the way across country, because we're not the kind of people to have we have friends everywhere, you know, because we're like moderately internet people, but we don't have like, hey, I'm gonna come like live at your house for 2 months
kind of
family connections, right, or friends and stuff like that. We just don't have that. We have very limited families, don't have extended families all over the place. So, while moving somewhere and setting yourself up, and hey, I know a handful of people around here who can sort of show us around and show us the ropes and stuff, that, like, we've got most anywhere, we would move. But this was just a thing. Like, the whole thing came, like, crashing down, so like, yeah, we're still hanging out.
A lot of things came crashing down
on the show, and like doing it, you know, doing it how we do it. So
he said that he thinks your rants are a driving big factor behind the show's discussion.
Well, you know, yeah, driving the discussions, driving people away from the podcast. You know, it happens in all ways, man. Hey, you know, here's the thing: we tried for a long time, and this is just a note. We're really crap at covering news. We all have really awkward schedules. We try to be timely, and for God's sake, man, if we didn't all have the kinds of jobs that eat our lives at really irregular intervals, we would do something entirely different with the show. And we tried for like a year and a half.
If I didn't have this job, I don't know that we would be.
Well, no, if you didn't have this job, if it was different, it would be different. I know, yeah, that's a stupid thing to say, but that's how it is. What we have here, with this, is totally unstructured. You're listening to a podcast where a bunch of guys talk about video games. We don't know how to be timely with the news, man. You do the same thing we do. You read a blog for it, you know? Mm-hmm. Those guys are way more on top of it than we are because that's what they do. If it was what we wanted to do, I would be like fucking Marketplace on NPR. Like, that's what I would want to do. I'd want to do like half an hour every day. You know?
Yeah.
Like something like that. I would want to try something like that. We've wanted structure, we've wanted to cover news, we've wanted to be like, we've also wanted to kick it absolutely to the other end of the spectrum and be far more deeply topical, you know, to drift back into the NPR realm, you know. I've wanted to pull some Ira Glass, you know, and do some This American Lifestyle,
oh, right,
stuff, which there are people out there doing some fantastic podcasts based on that concept, high productivity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to do 3 times a week, smaller episodes, 1 time a week, bigger episodes. There's problems with it all, and they all sort of draw back to our ability to get together and do what it is we really just like to do, anyway, which is talk about video games, you know, like, which is what we like to do. So basically, that's all you're listening to. It's not well-produced. It's not organized. Like, we open laptops, and maybe I starred some shit in my Google Reader. And that's about it. And
we read your emails.
Yeah, and really what it is, you know, I hate it because it's not for everybody. A lot of people try our show out, and they don't dig on it. For other people's, it's the whole downbeat thing works really, really well.
Yeah, for other people, this is like their anti-podcast,
yeah,
type of thing, where it's like, oh, you're not structured. You guys don't have, you know, at 15 after the show starts, I really don't know what you guys are doing, whereas if I listen to this other one, I know that at, yeah, that point, they're going to talk about the games that they played, or whatever feature is, whatever they've got.
Yeah.
We don't have that.
And, you know, the reality is that if we had a different setup, if we had, like, absolutely structured jobs and a sort of different kind of thing, we probably would. We would probably write our segments, and we would probably be a little more organized. Maybe that would be good, maybe not. I think there are things there that we could really excel at, and we have to ignore those abilities because of what we do. So basically, we would like to get together twice a week and do what we do and be fairly organized about it, but it doesn't necessarily work that way. And sometimes, you know, like, we had Daniel for the better part of a year, and that was great, and then it was like, oh yeah, you belong to Uncle Sam, and
yeah,
now you live in Texas, and you're about to live in Colorado, and nothing you can do about that, you know? And, like, sometimes RJ can be here with us, sometimes he can't.
Yeah.
You know? Sometimes Dennis can be here with us, sometimes he can't. But it's like, if you're trying to do something really structured, you know, and then fucking Matt shows up. Hi, Matt.
Which he did. He showed up last week.
Oh, it's great. I
he
totally
showed up
love
on
it. But if you're trying to
Thursday,
do it,
I think it was.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, you guys doing a show? And it's like, man, any other week of the year, we probably would be, but
yeah,
not tonight.
No, but if it's like, you can't do that with a structure, because, like, well, what the hell do I do with you? You
know? Right.
I didn't write your copy for this week. And we've had that problem before, so it's like, whatever.
Totally.
We're just totally talking about shit. And we, you know, we really, 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 really like it when people send us emails or messages about, like, hey, talk about this. Because, like, normally you're like, I don't want to talk about that. But you know what? While I'm thinking of it.
Yeah. It always comes, doesn't it?
So that's all it is. So
he goes in to add that, say, now that I think of it, will there be a live portion of the show again once college basketball season ends in the next week or two? This is how old this email is. Or has that ship sailed for good? You know
it
what? That's a good point to bring up, and we probably should.
Because we haven't addressed that, have we?
We really haven't. Well, because at the time that it happened, at the time that we said, hey, we got to go away for a while,
we intended to
come
back
portion of
live
this,
on the air, yeah.
I kind of Well, at the time, you know.
Well, yeah, whatever.
We didn't really know what the fuck was going on, really. But hey, now we do. And no, the live show is not coming back. There was possibly a time about a month ago that it probably would have come back, but the station here has since changed the face of that station we used to broadcast from. In fact, they've actually made it used to be an
AM station with so little power. I live like a couple blocks from here, and I can't pick it up. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was. They really didn't care. So, you know, yeah, go on, talk about games. Mm-hmm. Nobody listens anyway.
But now
they have an FM station.
They turned it into an FM station.
And now it matters. So
and now it's huge. Yeah, it can be heard by tons of more people, at least on their radio, than it was, than that. But no.
Also, we forgot how to not cuss again.
Yeah. We really...
We have to go back to, like, being scared shitless all the
well,
time.
Well, first off, you wouldn't have interviews like we had
Although,
with...
that was priceless. Scott's finger always hovering over the dump button when we had calls.
You wouldn't have had interviews like you had with Jason Zumwalt and Nolan North.
Yeah.
If we were still doing the live shows. Because they would have been on that live show, but you wouldn't have heard them saying
those
things.
That made for great times. Because always, whoever it was, somebody would let loose a fuck or a shit, and you'd have to hit the button. And then we spent the rest of it scared shitless, because you had to wait for it to build back up enough time to have a buffer. If they would let loose another one within the next, like, 15, 20 minutes... It was going out over the air, and if we got caught, we were in trouble. It never happened.
Nobody ever listened.
Yeah, thankfully nobody ever listened. And it never happened. We never let one get loose, so.
There are a couple sort of, you know, strangled, garbled, choked things that you sort of tried to half-drag back into your throat. That could have been that you could take issue with out there if you know.
And by the way, you
the
can
FCC
easily
happen to be within 8 blocks of this studio.
Yeah, you can easily tell where our live show stopped and where our recorded shows began. Just listen to James's rants. Not so much on the live show. You didn't talk near as
you
much
to,
on the live show.
Had
you
to save stuff for the after show when we had an.
Well,
after
because he had to
show,
censor
yeah.
himself.
Right. Yeah.
And that's no fun.
It's not. It's not. It isn't as much fun for me. We're at a buck and a half now.
I think that's good. We hit a lot of the emails, and if you want to email us, everyone@ingamechat.net. We love your emails. You guys sparked a great discussion. There about, you know, the future of consoles and then DRM involved in
so
that.
Send so. Us more.
So send us
more.
Yes.
Go.
The last time I visited Liberty City, I caught crabs off a Swiss tourist.
He's playing Chinatown. good times. All right, that's going to do it. And we hit the email, right? Are we done? Is that all? Is that how we close the show?
I think we're
show?
Done. I've forgotten how to we'll do it. We'll do our best to be back here later on and get this show turned around pretty quickly. We've kind of been really shitty about that lately. But, thanks for listening.
This is Eric from the Immortal Machines PC Gaming Podcast, where every 2 weeks we discuss retro titles,
come get some,
current releases,
pills here,
and engage in stimulating debates. Intellectually stimulating debates about the state of the industry. Come join us anytime at immortalmachines.com and every 2 weeks for our podcast, Immortal Machines. We're all out of gum.
Say, I say you do a little bit.